I want to invite you to open your Bibles now to the 20th chapter of Exodus, and we're going to continue our summer sermon series this morning on the Ten Commandments, titled "These Ten Words," and we're coming to the fourth commandment. Interestingly enough, the song that Jenny just sang for us, in the words of God, "I miss my time with you." The fourth commandment is about time. And it is about your relationship with God. And the commandment is still in effect today. And I say that because maybe of all the other commandments, this is the most controversial one. There are those who think that maybe this one, among all the others, has been set aside. And so we really only have 9 commandments instead of 10. But actually, there are still 10 commandments. And we are under each one of them, and if we think we can set it aside, we really just don't understand the commandment. And that's what I want to help us to do this morning. When I was preparing for the sermon, I was thinking back when I was a kid, and I grew up in a Christian home. In fact, my dad was a pastor, and so from the earliest times I can remember, we went to church. Obviously, dad preached, and in fact, I honestly, between the time I can remember until I was about 17 years old, I can only remember one Sunday when I didn't go to church. And I didn't go to church that Sunday because my parents had let me go with some friends they had a lake house or a cabin or something like that at Possum Kingdom Lake. And we went on Friday and spent the weekend there. And I remember getting up on Sunday morning and thinking, man, this feels weird. I mean, I couldn't remember in my entire life not being in church. And that particular Sunday, we didn't go to church. And so I grew up in church, and I think a lot of what, a lot of what we did, I think about our Sunday observance. You know, we would get up early in the morning, and Dad would already have gone over to the church, to prepare and everything. And so we would get our lunch, or we'd get our breakfast and everything, and usually I'd have a nice fist fight with my brother, or he would throw me on the ground and use me as his punching bag. And that was after, my sister had already stormed off to her room. My mother would come out, and she would be all upset, and so we would be all ready to go to church. She got us kids all ready and everything. And so then we would go to church and we would worship God, and then we would come home. And, there were some things that you could or couldn't do on Sunday. For example, you could not mow the grass on Sunday. I don't know that that was ever written down somewhere, but I honestly thought it was in the Bible somewhere. You could mow the grass on Saturday, but not on Sunday. And my mother never washed clothes on Sunday. Now, she cooked and we ate and we washed dishes and everything. But there were just some things that you could or couldn't do on Sunday, and it really all came, I really believe it all stems from the fourth commandment. In fact, many of you might remember that in times gone by, there were things called blue laws here in our nation. And blue laws were basically regulating what could or couldn't be done or bought and sold in particular on Sunday. And so I don't know exactly what all the blue laws were, because quite honestly, when I was a kid, we never went to a store anyway. I didn't know any of the stores were open, if they were open. I know you couldn't buy alcohol, and I think women couldn't buy pantyhose. Other than that, I'm not exactly sure what you could or couldn't buy on Sunday, but there were blue laws. For the most part today, all of those have been set aside. In fact, they sound kind of quaint, and it's almost sounds crazy to us that there were ever a time where you couldn't do something like that on Sunday. And now Sunday is kind of wide open for anything, and I'm still a church guy. I still love to come to church. I think everybody ought to be in church on Sunday. I don't understand why people wouldn't want to be in church on Sunday. Although a lot of people like to sleep in on Sunday, and kind of make that their day of rest, Others like to come to church and make it their day of rest. I got to tell you this story, because Mike's sitting right here. Not too long ago, I can't remember exactly what was going on, but there was a little boy, and he said, "Brother Mike, do you talk in your sleep?" And Brother Mike said, "No, I don't talk in my sleep. Brother Greg does." And the little boy said, "Brother Greg talks in his sleep." And Mike said, "No, Brother Greg talks in my sleep. Usually between about 11:30 and 12 on Sunday morning, Brother Greg's talking." And So probably what you're going to see is here pretty soon, Brother Mike's eyes are going to be closed in deep meditation. But, you know, I've always felt like that. I love you, brother. I've always felt like that, you know, I was a better preacher than the Apostle Paul, because he was able to preach almost all night and only one guy fell asleep. You know, that's the kid that fell out the window. And here I'll preach for about 30 or 40 minutes this morning, and, you know, probably half the congregation will be in deep meditation, you know, by the time we're over. So, but my heart's desire for it, I say all that because we have a commandment. And what does the commandment say? What does it regulate? What can or can't you do? And it's what we're doing here, to have anything to do with what's going on in the fourth commandment. Let's just read it together in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. And this is the Lord speaking now, and he's speaking to us, speaking to his people. And he says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Excuse me. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. So the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, the first question is what exactly does that mean? And when you come to this commandment, the fourth commandment, there basically are two main questions that in order to understand the commandment, you've got to answer these two questions. And the first one is, what is allowed and what's not allowed on the Sabbath day? That is, what can or can't you do to make the day holy? But the greater question, I think, is what day is the Sabbath day? So, the Sabbath day is the seventh day. That's what the commandment says. And yet here we are on the first day of the week. So has the day changed? So is the Sabbath day no longer Saturday? Now is it Sunday? And so those two things I want to talk about this morning. I want to break this thing down because I really want us to understand this fourth commandment, because I would say to you that we are still under this commandment. The commandment has not passed away, because God's word does not change and God's word does not pass away. So the commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, is still the commandment that we must deal with. So how in the world do we do it, and are we being obedient to this fourth command? And so the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning, I want you to understand that God made the Sabbath. In fact, I just put that up there, and I would just remind you, in understanding the Sabbath day and this fourth commandment, you first need to understand that God made the Sabbath. And he made it in two ways, or he gave it two qualities. And the first quality is eternal. God made the Sabbath eternal. Now, if we were good Hebrews, if we were the people of God in the Old Testament, we would believe or understand that there were only three things that were eternal. First of all, of course, God is eternal. We know that from the beginning of end. He knows the beginning from the end. He was in the beginning. He will be there in the end. God is eternal. Secondly, we know that the Torah, or the law of God, or the word of God, is eternal. Okay, it was always there. God's word is eternal. God speaks it, and it's done, and it never ends. And so the word of God is eternal. Thirdly, we would believe or understand that the Sabbath was eternal. In fact, just think about that. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, where we're first introduced to the Sabbath, and we're introduced to the Sabbath in creation, because what happened? God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so God created, and the morning and the evening was the first day. And then on the next day, he did some more of the creating. And on the third day, and on the fourth day, and on the fifth day, and on the sixth day, he finally created mankind. And so on those 6 days, he created everything. And then it says on the Sabbath, or the seventh day, he rested. It was a Sabbath, and he made it holy. Now watch this. In the Hebrew mind, it was already there. The Sabbath was there. God was just observing the Sabbath that he had created and already made holy. And that's why they would say that the Sabbath day is eternal. It really had no beginning and end, and that means it doesn't end. And I want you to understand how important the people of God understood this to be. I mean, since it was eternal, listen to what the scripture says in Exodus chapter 31, and they're just kind of expanding a little bit on the law. And in Exodus 31, verse 14, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it," watch this, "must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death." The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it, watch this, "for generations to come as a lasting covenant." Now, notice that he said the Sabbath isn't going to end. And so it is a lasting covenant from God to his people. The seventh day is holy unto God, and you must observe it. And he says, "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from the work and he rested." So notice, the Sabbath day is eternal. And this is the reason that I say we're still under this commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, because this is the way God made it. God consecrated it. God made it holy. He made it eternal. And then the second thing is, he made it holy. Now, that word holy means to be sanctified. And I want you to understand that something is sanctified or made holy as it relates to God. In fact, only something can be holy in its relationship with God. So, for example, this pulpit up here, we can say that it is holy. Why? Because it has been set aside or set apart for the preaching of the Word of God. And so it is a sacred desk. We don't use this pulpit for anything else. It is separated unto God. Anything that is separated unto God is holy because God is holy. I want you to notice that this is a positive thing. It's not just separate from something or separate from the world, which it is, but it is separate unto something. And so it is separated unto God. And because God is holy and God is the holy other, the separate and set apart, anything that is set apart unto him is made holy. And so the scripture says the Sabbath day is to be sanctified or to be made holy unto God. Now the question at this point might be, how in the world do you sanctify or make a day holy? Because a day is just a measure of time. And so how do you make a measure of time or a day holy? Well, to understand how this happens, you need to understand that in the Hebrew mind, the part represented the entire whole. And so when one part is set apart unto God, then the entire whole is consecrated or sanctified or made holy. For example, let's say you're a farmer and you have a field over there and you plant some wheat in it. And so the wheat grows, and then you go out and you harvest your wheat. And you begin to harvest your wheat, and the very first part of the wheat that you harvest, you take it to the temple of the Lord and you give it to God. You give it back to him. You sanctify it. You set it apart for God's use. Watch this. You don't give it to the temple. You don't give it to the priest. You give it to God. And so you're setting aside the part. This is called the first fruits. And so every farmer would take the first fruits of his crop, and he would take it, and he would set it apart unto God. He would give it to God. Now, when he did that, he understood that God then would sanctify the whole, okay? Because the part represented the whole. So the part was set aside to God. And then God blessed the entire whole. And a good farmer would never even think about holding that part back, because he wanted the entire thing to be blessed. So he would give the part to God, the first fruits, and then God would sanctify or bless the whole. We do the same thing when we tithe. And I know many of you in this room this morning, you're tithers. And so what that means is when you are paid money from your employer, you take the first 10% of that, and you come and you give it unto God. Now watch this. You're not giving it to the preacher. You're not giving it to the church. You're giving it to the Lord. Now, why do you do that? Well, you're doing that because you are sanctifying that part. You are setting it apart unto God. and you are believing that as you sanctify the part unto God, then the entire thing will be sanctified or made holy by God. And so now God blesses the whole because you've sanctified the part. Now, I know some of you in here who do not tithe and don't really understand tithing, and you don't understand how in the world 90% can be more than 100%. And those of you in here who tithe, you could give testimony to it. I mean, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you see, if God sanctifies the 90%, that which is sanctified or made holy unto God is always more than the 100% that is not. Do you understand? And so the part represents the whole. That's what first fruits is all about. That's what tithing is all about. That's what the Sabbath is all about. So what we're saying, and remember, a day is just a measure of time. On a Sabbath, with the Sabbath, you are taking your time and you're dedicating it unto the Lord. And so when you dedicate it unto the Lord for His use, okay, not for the church, not for anything else, you're dedicating it unto Him. And the only way you can do that is with your life, your time. You give it unto God, and then what God is able to do is He's able to bless the whole. That is the rest of the week. So you sanctify, or you consecrate, or you make holy this one day in your life set apart for God, and then God blesses the entire whole. He turns it all for you, okay? And that's what it means to make the Sabbath day holy. Now, God consecrated it and said, it's mine. Now, watch this. If you hold that back from God, if you say, no, God, it's not yours, it's mine, so you refuse to give Him His due, or you refuse to worship Him, or you refuse to set time aside for Him, or set the day aside for Him, and God has already consecrated or made it holy, set aside for Himself, but you hold it back unto yourself, then what God has to do is God's got to take it back from you some way. This is a principle, it's an Old Testament principle. This is exactly what happened to the people of God in the Old Testament when they did not observe the Sabbath and they did not observe the year of Jubilee. And so God sent them off into captivity. How many years? 70 years. Because what God was doing was He was getting it back. Because you see, it's already consecrated, it's already made holy unto the Lord. And what God wants to do is He wants to do this in your life. He wants to consecrate you or make you holy unto Him. And as you give Him this part of your life, what happens is the rest of it becomes blessed by God. Now, what does a Sabbath observance look like? Okay, let's just talk for a minute about, because that's what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is created by God. It is eternal. It is holy. But what does Sabbath observance look like? In order to answer that question, I need to just mention two things. And the first one is this. On the Sabbath day, first of all, there is no work. Okay? No work. That is rest. In fact, the key word is rest. Now, here's the problem with all that. What is or isn't work? And so let's just put ourselves back in the Old Testament shoes for just a second. And so, okay, so the commandment is, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. On 6 days you work, but on the seventh day you don't do any work. Okay, so what does it mean not to work? Does that mean you can't get out of bed? Can you fix breakfast? What if you got a milk cow? And that milk cow needs to be milked on the Sabbath day. Is milking your milk cow, is that a sin against God? Is that work? And so the question was, what is or isn't work? Now, in order to answer that question, the Jewish rabbis came along and they codified all of these rules and regulations. In fact, you can find these things even to this day in some Jewish literature called the Mishnah. And 24 chapters in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah are just the writings of the rabbis, the wisdom of the rabbis on how to keep the commandments. And 24 chapters in the Mishnah are dedicated to this fourth commandment and to this issue of work, what is or isn't work. And by the way, they said that, yes, it is work to start a fire. And so if you want something to eat, you better prepare it the day before, because you can't cook anything on the Sabbath day, because you got to start a fire in order to do that, and that's work. They also said that you could milk your cow on the Sabbath day, but you couldn't carry the pail, because carrying a pail or a burden is work. So you can milk your cow, you just can't use the milk, okay? So you could dump it out, or you can leave a pail out there the day before, and you can have it sitting there, and you can milk your cow, and then you just leave it sitting there, and if it's still there the next day after the Sabbath, then you can pick it up and use it. They also said that healing was work. And so, like, you could stabilize, if there was a wound or something, you could stabilize it, but you couldn't do anything to make it better. So, for example, if you cut yourself, you could stop the bleeding, but you couldn't bind it up or apply any salve or anything so that it might be healed, because that was considered work. I want you to notice, I want to just pause here and just point out that it was at this point that Jesus ran afoul of the religious leaders. You might remember in the New Testament, there are six different times in the Gospels when Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath day. Now, he healed on the other days as well, but he healed on the Sabbath day, and he was considered a lawbreaker. He violated the law of God in these people's minds because he was a Sabbath breaker, because he violated the fourth commandment. Because remember, there was one time there was a man who had a withered hand, and it was the Sabbath day. He could have waited till Sunday, the first day of the week. I mean, that guy had a withered hand a long time. And Jesus looked around. He knew what they were thinking. He said, stretch your hand out, boy. He stretched it out, and now it's healed. And everybody looked at that miracle, that example of the power of God, and they said, that guy violated the law. Now, beloved, he didn't violate the law of God. He violated the law of man. And that's a very, very important distinction to make or to understand, okay? Because the people made all of these rules and regulations. And in our minds, it sounds kind of crazy whether you milk your cow or not, or start a fire or not, or all that. But what was happening was they were trying to be faithful to the law of God. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, don't do any work. What does it mean not to do work? That's the question, okay? So when you observe the Sabbath, first of all, you got to rest, okay? No work. Second part of the Sabbath observance came to be for the people worship. Now, you'll notice in the command here, there's nothing about worship. But it didn't take too long when the people, since they couldn't work, what are we going to do? Well, we got a temple over there, so let's go to the temple and let's worship God. We got a synagogue over here. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, the scripture says, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. Watch this. A day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath unto the Lord. And so what happened was the Sabbath day became a day of sacred assembly, a time when the people of God would gather together, can't do any work anyway. They would get together, they would worship God, they would lift up the name of the Lord, they would sing hymns and psalms. They perhaps would listen to a sermon from a rabbi or something like that. They would focus their attention on God as they dedicated that day unto the Lord and sanctified it in their own life and made it holy unto the Lord. Now, at this point, I want to pause and I want to just ask ourselves a question. So, what is the proper day of worship? So, here we are on Sunday, and the Sabbath day started out to be the seventh day, that's Saturday. And now we're on Sunday, we're worshiping. And, you know, we have a lot of friends. I've got Seventh-day Adventist friends that try to tell me that I am just completely and totally messed up. I'm getting it so wrong because we don't worship on Saturday. We worship on Sunday. We've got other folks, some who have been part of this church and members of this church, some who still are, who say that, and these folks are ones who have decided they want to be more Jewish than they want to be Christian. And so in order to be a good Christian, you got to be a good Jew. And so they're going back and they're trying to recreate the law of God and to worship or to follow the law of God. And these are folks, in fact, I had a lady member of this church say to me, Brother Greg, she said, you preach the word of God. I love your preaching and I know you're a man of God. I know you love the Lord. She said, but as long as you keep on worshiping on Sunday, I won't be there. You say, you want to have a worship service on Saturday? Then I'll come. Because she believes that in order to be a good Christian, you got to be almost Jewish. And so she's going back to try to be Jewish. So what is the deal? So the scripture says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Has the Sabbath day changed? And let me just answer that question for you just very clearly and plainly. No. The Sabbath day has not changed. In fact, if you look at Christian history, at the very beginning, all of the Christians were Jews. In fact, the first ones who were saved were Jews. And so they worshiped on Saturday, the Sabbath day. They would go down to the temple. You see Peter and John very early in the book of Acts. They're going down to the temple on the Sabbath day. They're worshiping on the Sabbath day. They're teaching and preaching in the temple on the Sabbath day. But as you go along through the book of Acts, what you find out is the gospel opened up to everybody, not just Jews, but also Gentiles. Now, Gentiles didn't feel like they were under the law. And the Gentiles who were now saved, they said, listen, we want to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. The first day of the week is Resurrection Day. And so we want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because it's the fact that he died on the cross and that he lives again. That makes all the difference in our lives. And so they began to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, in celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So were they wrong? Well, you ever heard of a guy named J. Vernon McGee? J. Vernon McGee, great Bible expositor. In fact, one of my favorite ones, I have his volumes Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee in my office. We've got them in the library. If you ever just want to be blessed, he will bless you. He no longer lives. He no longer is living, but he had a radio program for many, many years called Through the Bible. And you can still hear that radio program at 8 o'clock at night, every evening, on 8 o'clock at 105.7 FM. And so I'd encourage you, if you ever want to be blessed, go listen to J. Vernon McGee. But anyway, Dr. McGee was asked one time, said, Dr. McGee, I will give you $100 if you will show me in the scripture where the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday. $100. And Dr. McGee said, keep your money, because I can't show you in the scripture the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday, because it wasn't. The Sabbath was not changed from Saturday to Sunday, he said, but I've been changed. He said, something's happened to me. And now I have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I've been changed, because I've born again, now I worship and my life is oriented towards God, not just one day, but every day. My whole life belongs to him. It's almost like every day is a Sabbath day. It's made holy unto God. That's the way Dr. McGee explained it. I felt like that was pretty good. So here we go. Has the Sabbath day changed? No. But you know what? If you've been changed, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, then you've got something to celebrate and you've got something to worship. And that leads me to the Sabbath and you. So can you, and remember I said that this commandment, we are not, we are still under the commandment. And I want to show you exactly how you can fulfill this commandment or live in light of the fourth commandment that says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the word that you have to get here is the word rest. Now, please, please stay with me, okay? If you're nodding off, come back, okay? Because this is the most important part. To observe the fourth commandment, you must rest. And this rest comes in two ways. The first type of rest in your life must be spiritual rest. Spiritual rest. In order to obey the commandment of God, you have to rest in him spiritually. Now, to understand this, we need to go to the New Testament here just a minute, to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I'm going to put a couple of verses up here on the screen, but I would encourage you to turn over there. If you've got your Bibles out, just turn over to Hebrews 4. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the apostle is talking about, he is relating to how, and he's speaking to Hebrews who are living under the law and all this, and he is explaining to them how the Lord Jesus Christ is now greater than all these things. In other words, we've got to come to him in order to relate to God. That's ultimately what the book of Hebrews is all about. And in Christ Jesus, you're going to find every need met. And when he gets to chapter 4, he begins to talk about the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest, okay? Now he talks about these Old Testament folks who, you know, when they left Egypt, what they were looking for? They were looking for rest. And they entered into the promised land, but it turned out not to be the promise or the rest that they were looking for. In fact, in verse 2, and look at verse 2 of Hebrews 4. It says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. And the they there is the Old Testament folks. So he said, they had the gospel preached to them. We had the gospel preached to us. And look at what he says. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now watch this. He says, they heard the gospel, we heard the gospel. But what happened is they didn't put the missing ingredient to the gospel, which is faith, to make it real. He said, but if you've done it, then you have entered into your rest. Now just think with me for just a second. Understand this, okay? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is that God is holy and you are not. That you are a sinner. And you are separated from God in your sin, okay? All of sin comes short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you're a sinner and you're separated from God. And it doesn't matter what you do, you can't make yourself right with God. You are lost, completely and totally lost. You can work. You can do everything you can think of for God. You can show up at church every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I mean, you can do anything and everything, and you cannot work your way into a relationship with God. You'll never be right with God. But God, who is rich in mercy and grace and truth, was not willing to let you live and die in your sin, so he did something about it. Here's the gospel. You're a sinner. God sent his son Jesus to take your place in death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So what you earn or deserve for your sin is death, but Jesus died on the cross to take the penalty of your sin. And so he died on the cross, taking the place of the penalty of your sin, and he gives you life in exchange. And that is the grace of God and the gift of God. Now, how do you receive it? Well, there's only one way, and that's by faith. For it is by grace you are saved. That is the gift of God. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is his gift, not of works. Watch this. There's no work that can be done so that you cannot boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, you're saved by grace through faith. And so what he said, so what the apostle is saying here is you take the gospel and you combine it by faith, and what happens is you enter into the rest of God. Now watch this. Look down at verse 9 in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, there remains then a Sabbath rest. Look at what he calls it. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Now, look what it's saying. He said, when you take the gospel and you combine it by faith, that is, when you come to understand that you are a sinner, lost in your sin, nothing you can do about it, but that Jesus died on the cross for you, and by faith you come to him and receive him as your Savior and Lord, what happens is you enter into the rest of God, and that rest, that is, you stop working for your salvation, and you rest in the work that Jesus did for you. And when you rest in his work, that is God's rest, and it is a Sabbath rest. So in other words, when you come to Christ by faith, you now are in obedience to the fourth command. You are keeping the Sabbath day holy because you have stopped working for yourself, and now you're resting in the work of God, which is Christ. This is the spiritual rest. Now listen, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, then you're in violation of this commandment. There's nothing that you can ever do to make the Sabbath day holy because you're not holy. And the only way you can separate your life apart from God is through Jesus Christ. When you come to him by faith, you are made right in him, made new, you're newborn, and made right with God. You're separated unto him, and now you're in obedience to the fourth commandment. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Praise God, you can say amen if you want to. Now, for those who insist that we've got to worship on a particular day, that is a Saturday, let me tell you what you can say to those friends. You can say, listen, I not only worship on Sunday, I worship on Saturday too. I worship every day. In fact, every day of my life now is set apart unto God because I am saved. I belong to him. I'm resting in the work of Christ. And when you rest in the work of Christ, your whole life now becomes an offering unto God. So the Sabbath day is Saturday, is Sunday, is Monday. Every day you're living unto him and you're obeying this fourth commandment. All right? And that's how you answer those folks. So in order to obey the commandment, first of all, you got to be saved. You have got to spiritually rest in Jesus. And then let me just add to that, physical rest. The second way you observe this commandment is you rest physically. Physically. And I especially want to talk to all you guys out there who, you know, want to work your fingers to the bone, right? You know, because this commandment deals not only with spiritual rest, but also with physical rest as well. Now, you might ask yourself the question, why in the world would God command me to rest physically? And the answer is because He knows how you were made. He knows what you need because He's the one who made you. He's your creator. I mean, it's kind of like this. I got a car out there in the parking lot. And when we got that car, I didn't know much about it. I didn't know what kind of oil it needed, and I don't know what kind of fluid and all that kind of stuff, or how much to put in it and all that. And so I began digging through the glove box there, and I found a little book. And it's called The Owner's Manual. And what I found was that the people who made that car, who created that car, they wrote a book for me. And in that book, it's got everything I need to know about that car, you know, and what kind of oil I need to put in, and how much oil I need to put in, when I need to change the oil. It's got stuff about what other kind of fluid and all those other kind of, anything I might, if I've got any question about that car, I go back to that book and I read the book. And then if I don't quite understand everything, then I go back to the manufacturer and I find out about it, okay? Because they created the car, so they know what that car needs. Now, beloved, listen to me. You were created. You don't just exist here. You just didn't pop into being. You were created by somebody, and that somebody was God. He is your creator. And He knows what you need. In fact, He wrote an owner's manual for you. Right here. You want to know how your life operates? You want to know what your life needs? When things get out of whack and you can't quite figure it out, you're trying to figure out, you got a little shake or rattle, you're not sure what's going on, go back to the book, because the Creator, you see, wrote in the book about you and what you need. And you know, one of the biggest things He said was, you need rest. You need rest. And I'm talking about physical rest. Now, you need to rest spiritually in Jesus, because unless and until you do that, you're lost and you're on your way to hell. But in Christ Jesus, now you are saved, you still need physical rest every day, and at least one day out of the week needs to be set aside for rest. Why? Because God created you this way. And those of you who think you can just work your fingers to the bone, you know what you're going to get? Bony fingers. What you're doing is you're disobeying the law of God. I know, that is a poor, poor joke. There's an old song like that. Work your fingers to the bone. What do you get? Bony fingers, right? But listen, you are living in violation to the law and the will of God if you do not set time aside the rest, and at least one day a week you need to set aside. I'll say this to the ladies as well. You dedicate and consecrate that day apart for God and then for yourself, and what you're going to find is God blessing you. There's a story about two lumberjacks, and they were going to have a contest chopping wood. They were going to see who could chop the most wood. And so they were going to chop wood for a while. And they sat out there. Each one of them had their axe. They had the wood there. And they just began chopping, you know. And the first guy just chopped, chopped, chopped. And the second guy, he chopped a little bit. And then he stopped and took a break. And then he got back and he chopped some more. The first guy's just chopping away. Second guy, he chops a little bit more. He stops and takes a break. Over the course of the contest, this second guy would stop and take a break every once in a while. This first guy would just chop, 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 chop. Well, when the contest was over, they looked at all the wood, they counted it all up and everything, and the guy who had stopped and took all the breaks had actually chopped more wood than the first guy that had just chopped the whole time. And so they asked him, they said, how in the world did you do that? How is it possible? I mean, you were taking all these breaks and everything, and this guy just chopped continually and never seemed to stop, and yet you chopped more wood than him. How is that possible? And the guy said, well, he said, when I stopped and took a break, he said, I was sharpening my axe. Because you can't chop wood with a dull axe. And folks, let's just be honest about it. Some of us in here, we're trying to chop wood, and we got a dull axe. And we're run down, and we're beat down, and we can't understand why things just, we can't get it together. Maybe our health is failing and all that. Remember, Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath? Do you know, this commandment right here is one of the blessings of God. He didn't lay it on you in order to put you down or to weigh you down in some way. He gave you this commandment to bless you. Rest in Him spiritually and you'll have life. Rest physically and your life will be blessed. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And so this entire commandment is all about relationship. Relationship between you and God, relationship with yourself. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This is the fourth command. And every one of us, we need to hear this command. Father God, would you help us today as we just seek to enter into your rest? Lord, there are some of us here today and we've been trying to do it our own way. And we've been working. Trying to get our life right with you, and nothing ever seems to work out. It just seems to keep falling apart. We can't figure it out. Lord, today I just pray that you would help us all stop from our own labor and, Lord, to rest in you. And God, for those here today that for the first time just need to come and trust you by faith, put their faith to the gospel and be saved, Lord, I just pray that today would be the day of salvation, the day of rest. And Lord, for those of us who are just here and we're wore down, beat down because we haven't been obedient to your word, we've thought that, you know, we're strong enough in and of ourselves, we can do our own thing. God, would you just forgive us? And today, Lord, would you draw us back to you? And Lord, would you just help us to rest? And God, teach us your principles and the principles of life. And God, help us to be obedient to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and I just want to invite you to respond to the word of God. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today, I would tell you that today is the day of rest. And you can come into Christ's rest because He died on the cross for you. You can live in Him. Or maybe you're just whooped down and you just need to come and kneel at this altar and say, you know what, God, I just need your help to be what you want me to be. And maybe it's a hell thing, maybe it's something else. You know, you can rest in Him, and you will find as you dedicate to Him the part, the entire whole becomes blessed in Jesus. So come on right now, as Brother Mike leads us, I just want to invite you to respond to God's word right now.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. How great thou art.
our head and close our eyes real quick, and I'm just going to ask the instrument to play just through one other verse of how great thou art. And let's pray for one another, okay? Because maybe you've got it all right with God, but you know somebody's struggling today. Maybe they're struggling physically. Maybe they're struggling spiritually. Maybe they don't know which way is up, which way is down. And they're burdening your heart. Today, let's just lift them before the Father. All those who are on our hearts tonight, right now. God, help us. God bless you. Would you just be seated for just 1 second here? We're going to do a couple of things here. First of all, I want to introduce you to Mr. Matthew Sweeney, who comes forward this morning to publicly profess his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one of those, by the way, amen. He's one of those during music camp who indicated on his card he was trusting Christ, and he just told me about how he had prayed to receive Christ when he was in another place, and that Jesus saved him. He knew because he asked him to. That's how he knew that he was saved and that Jesus had saved him. And so if you rejoice with me in Matthew's heart decision and what God is doing in his life, would you just say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord!
Amen. I tell you, we're just really excited about what God is doing. And Matthew, we're looking forward to how he's going to just as you grow up in him, about the young man that you're going to become as a child of God and a Christian. And we're all here to help you and to walk with you in that, okay? And I want you to look across this congregation, because that's what we are as a congregation. We're a congregation of believers who walk in the light of God's love with him and then with one another. And you're a big part of that, brother. And we're so excited. Matthew is going to be going through a little booklet that I've given him, and we're going to be talking about baptism here coming soon. And so I just want to, as we're dismissed this morning, I'm going to invite you to come back. I'm going to ask his dad to stand up here with him, and I'm going to ask you to just come by and give some encouragement to Matthew in his decision and in his faith. All right? Now, you guys, I want y'all to stay right there, okay? Now, as we're dismissed this morning, I want to have a prayer time, and I want to remind you that this morning began Vacation Bible School and our special needs class, and then tomorrow for our children right here. We're looking for a couple of hundred kids to be here tomorrow, and I want to remind you just to be in prayer. And right now, I'd like to ask all of those who are working in Vacation Bible School this year, if you would just come and gather around the altar here. Would you just do that right now? Just come on and stand around the altar. If you're going to be working in Vacation Bible School, we're going to pray over you. And also, along with that, on Friday evening, our students and young people, come on, just kind of come on down here. Just we'll pack in. Listen, we can touch one another. It's all right. Nobody's got cooties or anything. And also on Friday evening, our students and sponsors are going to be getting on a bus and driving to Baltimore, Maryland. And it's a long drive. We're going to need prayer Friday night and Saturday for Traveling Mercy. And then on Sunday, we'll be worshiping there in the church and leading Vacation Bible School that next week and doing some other things in the community. And so I'm going to invite all those going on that trip and leaders and young people, come on down here and just stand around this altar as well. And we're just going to pray over you. So come on down, all right? Anybody else? We got many of those going, standing right down here. Yeah, already. Okay. Okay. And so now I would just invite you to stand before the Lord, and would you just reach out and grab somebody next to you, all right? And we're going to join our hearts and our hands together in prayer. And I'm going to lead us in this prayer of dedication for those working in Vacation Bible School and those going on this trip, all right? Let's just bow before the Father. Father God, we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus for your great love for us. And Lord, I just thank you that you've called us together as a body, as a family of faith. And I thank you, Lord, for that rest that we find in Jesus and the rest for life and Lord, the rest for salvation. And God, I just pray that you would, as you consecrate and sanctify our lives today, set apart for you, Lord, that you would bless these, Lord, that you would bless this work, this Vacation Bible School that began this morning, continues the rest of this week and then this month. Lord, I pray that you would fill the heart of each and every one of these workers. And so, Lord, as these children come, Lord, I pray that they would see Jesus in our lives. God, that not one child would be turned aside as if there's no room for him, for Jesus. But, Lord, that every child would be brought to you. And, God, you would be able to bless each one as you bless them through us. Let each one of these be an instrument in your hand in the classroom and playing the games and all the things, singing the songs, all the things that make a Vacation Bible School. Lord, would you just be in each part of it and use each part for your glory and honor. And Father God, today I pray for our students, for our youth group. And I pray, Lord, your anointing and power and spirit upon them as they go in the light of your love to take light into a very dark place. And Lord, I pray that through their lives you would light up Baltimore for the glory of Jesus. And Lord, that the church would be blessed, and that we would see souls come to know you as Savior and Lord. And God, that when we leave that place, that Baltimore, Maryland would know that God lives and reigns. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And so today, Lord, we just give you glory and praise, and we worship you in the name of Jesus as you use our lives, God, to bless this community and this world for the love of Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.